Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're here with us again today. You know, last year, towards the end of the year, we had a conversation with Ned Flynn from Arion about year-end bonuses. Problem was, it was so close to the end of the year that maybe many of you weren't thinking about it. Well, let's rebroadcast that piece because there's valuable information here, how to structure year-end bonuses the right way. Here, from last year, Ned Flynn from Arion on the Business News Hour.
You found the business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro. The Business News Hour from Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications and the training team at Tarot International. Learn the skills necessary to improve your career and your business at Tarot. That's Tarot.com. T-E-R-O.com.
We're so grateful to be back with us in studio to talk a little bit about year-end planning and year-end bonuses. And, well, employee morale and getting folks on the right page is Ned Flynn. He is from Arion. Arion, wow, that's such a great name. You know, always when I say Arion, it reminds me of gold.
Well, you'd be the only one. So,
really?
Yes. So I was actually talking to the person up front, and I was telling her that I was speaking into my phone, and I said Arion, and it spelled it Ariana. And then she actually had somebody who hears the radio show call in and say, well, how do you spell that? So you may be the only one. So it's A-U for gold,
right, gold.
R-E-O-N. So
I like it. You know, at first I wasn't so sure, but it makes a lot of sense when you step back. And like everything, like branding anything, it just takes some
and
time.
We've used the AU and the gold symbol as a way to promote, you know,
right,
gold services and gold standards. And so we're kind of using that to define how we engage with employees and clients. And yeah.
Yeah. So it works. See?
It's branding, right? That's your, that's
I
how
like
you do
it. That's why I say when I think of Arion, I think about gold. Why not? All right. Well, Ned, we're going to talk a little bit about the end of the year is coming up. And in so many places, businesses, corporations are handing out gifts, if you will, or bonuses, or structured some type of way to say thank you to their employees. What do you guys think about all this?
Right. I mean, December, so there's two things that happen in December. Most companies, some companies get it done earlier, but most companies use December to finalize budgets.
Right.
And a lot of times what gets included in budgets are merit increases or performance increases, and then also bonus plans. So that's one of the things that we want to talk about today. The other thing that happens, and we see it in our business, is there's a tremendous amount of end-of-year bonuses that go out. In fact, the payroll that we see our clients processing in the month of December is probably four times a normal month's pay.
Really?
Yeah. So most people are making bonuses are paying bonuses at this time of year.
Well, that's an interesting sideline, you know, and based on that conversation, you could look at payroll systems over a relatively long period of time and be able to gauge the health of business and or the economy based on December payrolls.
Absolutely.
Wow, that would be kind of interesting stuff to look at. I'd sign up for that.
Yes, and we those sometimes make a big difference in yes, you can tell what's going on in
sure.
the economy by what's happening in the month of December.
Interesting stuff. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the how many businesses out there do end-of-year bonuses, and what's the payoff?
Well, I don't know that I've got exact statistics on how many actually do it, but there's actually a study. I think it's Willis Towers Watkins, I think is the study.
Mm-hmm.
But 99% of employers feel obligated to give bonuses or incentive pay.
99%?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I think what's interesting about that is, you know, obviously you want to use incentive pay to incent the behaviors that drive the results that you're trying to accomplish. Merit increases are one form of incentive pay. So, hey, you've worked here another year, you've done some things, let's give you an increase in your salary. And employers, based on this study, have indicated that only 20% of them feel that achieves its desired result.
Uh-huh.
And then bonuses, only 32% of employers believe that that achieves its desired result.
So 99% of businesses feel as though that they have to do this, but then the return on investment is not very good.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. Are we just beating each other up upside the head on this, or is there a better way to incentivize people and make it happen?
You know, I think it's one of those things that you really want to pay attention to. And one of the things I tell people, the clients that I talk to, is, you know, a merit increase is, you know, I think employees expect it, but, you know, that's something that happens year after year after year, and it increases your cost of operations. And so that's just something to consider.
A merit increase, right?
A merit increase, mm-hmm. right? So an increase in pay that's just simply based on a cost of living adjustment. And so when we advise clients about structuring an incentive pay system, there's a couple of things that we want to take into consideration. One is the accomplishment of tasks, activities, results that align directly with what we're trying to do. So if we're trying to increase our market share, if we're trying to increase our sales or profitability, and to the extent that that person has an impact on that area, then setting milestones and to the extent they accomplish it, pay them for it. The second one is, how did the company do?
Profitability of the company,
And so one doesn't rely on the other. So we like to see them structure it so that there's incentive pay for accomplishing their objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another, say, pool that's tied to how did the company do? Because ultimately we're all most interested in our company continuing to make money so that they can continue to pay us. And then the third is, how did you do your job? So, you know, we've had people that have created great results, but did it in a way that didn't meet the company's value system, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's usually reflected on a performance
evaluation.
So there's
three different things going on when a business is trying to figure out how to incentivize.
I think that's an ideal scenario.
Yeah, okay. So we not only have the merit pay, the opportunity, you've been here a long period of time, profitability of the company. So has the company actually met its sales and or strategic goals? And then how you went about doing what job that you were tasked to do.
Correct.
Okay. So how many companies do it that way, you think?
I not very many.
Yeah. And why?
So I actually had – we did a study with a client. And it was really interesting because we charted or documented their pay increases over the last 5 years, and we noticed a trend that it was flat dollar amount. So it was always a dollar an hour. And that was great for a $10 an hour employee, but not so great for a $30 an hour employee. And so we got them to look at what they were doing and identify. And so I think that what that story is a lot of times I think we react to a situation rather than having a plan and a method for handling what we know is going to happen. So we know employees expect something. We know employees are going to talk to us about their pay, having a plan beforehand to address those situations.
Absolutely. And when you do those kinds of things, and if you're transparent about it, that's the other thing I think that's very important, because let's face it, employees do talk to other employees. And you're so right when you say if you're a $10 an hour employee and you get a dollar an hour raise, that's kind of a big thing. But if you're $30 or $40 an hour, that's a slap in the face.
It has the opposite impact of what you're trying to do.
Yeah. So putting thought into your incentive program is critical.
And one of the other components, and we've got a white paper that's going out on this topic, but one of the other components is the use of gifts or trips or tangible rewards as opposed to financial rewards.
So we just had a story, just this week, as a matter of fact, or last week rather, Ned, there's a company in Waterloo that just met all of their sales goals. They're taking 800 employees on a week's cruise through the Caribbean.
Yeah, there's a statistic out there that performance is improved 24 points when the reward is a tangible reward versus a financial reward. So that company probably performed 24% better than somebody who offered a financial award.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting, actually.
So it's perhaps best to have this tangible reward, whether it's a trip or days off or something that somebody can work towards. What happens, Ned, when a company bases these types of reward systems on a pool of employees, and some of the employees may really do well at their job, and they've risen to the occasion, and they have really helped the bottom line, and others are coasting? If you don't have that three-tiered look, you could be in trouble.
And again, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. You know, there are some strategies where you're trying to incent teamwork, and so you want to, you know, reward an entire team the same way. But I believe any good incentive plan that's not tied to that kind of objective recognizes those performers who contribute more. So a lot of times what we would advise a client is if they say, okay, we've got, you know, we'll do merit increases of 3 or 4%, we say take that and that, consider that a pool of money. And so then based on the contributions of the employee or their performance, you could allocate that pool to higher contributors or lesser contributors, depending on how they perform.
Sure. And as we look, this is the end of the year, and for many people who are on calendar year tax implications, these types of bonuses or merit pay or however we want to label it has some tax consequences as well. So I think a business has to be aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should consider that as you're making those payments. A lot of people, even if they get rushed, they just add it with their regular payroll. So the IRS allows two methods for calculating taxes on supplemental pay, which is what bonuses are. It's the aggregate method. It's when you lump it in with your payroll. And the challenge with that is that the payroll tax tables are based on the frequency of pay and the amount of pay. So they'll tax that amount as if that employee was making that every pay period. Mm. And sometimes it results in an over withholding. So it almost de-incentivizes, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The employee gets a lot less than they thought they were going to get. The other method is the percentage method, and that's just a flat 25% that the IRS withholds. That's to me, that's the preferred method.
So you can budget that way much more cleanly.
And you can also, you know, the employees, you know exactly what
right.
you're going to get.
Right? Yeah.
If it's a $1,000 bonus, you're getting $750.
Got it. And that way there's no surprises when the tax statement comes.
Correct.
Yeah. Good stuff. This is all about, we've been talking with Ned Flynn from Arion about year-end bonuses and merit pay and all those kinds of things that many individuals are looking at right now. You know, we just had a story on, maybe it's been a couple of weeks ago, that raises are looking positive for the future in many central Iowa businesses. Are you hearing that among your clients as well?
I think we've seen, you know, in Iowa, but, you know, and we're in 46 states,
sure,
so
yeah.
across the country, that the small business employers, and again, small business employers defined by the Department of
Labor,
I guess, as under 500 employees, mm-hmm. that we've seen strength in that market that's usually reflected in pay and raises. But there's strength in that market, what I think is a positive sign for the economy.
Got it. All right. We've been talking with Ned Flynn about raises and perhaps even your merit pay, should you be listening right now. And there's a white paper coming out on this, you say?
Yes, it'll be at Arion.com and, you know, find your way to the media center and lots of good information, including the white paper we'll release shortly.
All right. Well, what we will do is we'll make sure that we link to that when this goes up on the radio blog.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks so very much, Ned Flynn.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Once again, that was Ned Flynn with a conversation about year-end bonuses. Ned is with Arion. And if you're a manager or a business owner and you're wondering about year-end bonuses and how to put them together, you ought to be paying attention to that. How to do it and also make a big impact on your employees towards the positive. All right, we've got to clear on out of here. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the news, our Cat Rocket Ship was in the first half hour. Ned Flynn from Arion. Our producer, as he is each and every evening, is Tyler Hackenmiller. The voice of Insight on Business of the NewsHour is Jimmy Olson. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. The program director for the radio station is Pat Wood. And guess what? You know the music that you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our good friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. And the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group is Jeff Delvaux. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? Second candle for Hanukkah. You can light that right about now, as a matter of fact. We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Till then, be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.